MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, April 22, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Today's headlines, Ipswich River Watershed Association is proposing the removal of an Ipswich dam. The Gloucester school budget is not finalized. There's a new CEO at Lynn Community Health, and we have more on the recent Beverly Library HVAC vote.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we have a note from softball and girls lacrosse. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Sunny, low 50s today, high tide Gloucester Harbor, 11:19 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. The City of Gloucester and the Gloucester School Department are $3.1 million apart on school funding for next year. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that an original $6.1 million gap has been closed to the $3.1 million. At this time, the schools are looking at cuts in services in the district that has seen increased costs in special education tuition, transportation, overall inflation, and the ending of federal COVID-19 relief funding. The Ipswich River runs through 24 communities, and 15 of those communities get their water from the river. Michael McHugh reports in today's Salem News that after a decade of work with the Ipswich River Water Association and the town, residents are expected to vote next month on whether to follow through with a plan for the removal of the century-old Ipswich Mills Dam. That action would see an immediate and profound ecological restoration and the eventual return of rare freshwater tidal habitat, according to research. A few weeks ago, the Beverly City Council rejected a proposal from Mayor Cahill to fund the Beverly Library HVAC project after the funding went from $3.75 million to a somewhat shocking $18 million. Ward 4 City Councilor Scott Hausman was not able to attend the vote taken at that meeting, but last week he told the council he supported that vote to reject the funding.
My comments about the outcome of the library vote is that the outcome really was largely due to a failure of the administration to have in place an effective protocols for capital expenditure project management in its relationships with the council. And it seems to me, perhaps even internally, most, if not all, of the city council over the years since 2011, when Beverly first became a green community, one of the first in the Commonwealth, the council has unanimously supported the administration's clean energy leadership. And I think we can and will again if Mayor Cahill delivers on his statement, on his commitment that he made at our last meeting, which I was listening on BevCam, to provide progress reports to the council on its capital expenditure projects in an orderly, effective, and regular manner.
Councilor Hausman adds that the Beverly City Council did its job with the vote and its oversight.
For insisting upon both transparency and accountability from the administration, we can work and collaborate together, but that's a two-way street. And the administration has to, in my opinion, sort of seek advice and consent from the council. As Councillor Bowen observed at the meeting last week, I believe, there were a lot of decision trees that came and went that the council was not involved in. And if we had been involved in them, the outcome of that library vote may well have been different, because the decisions made along the way might well have been different.
That's Beverly Ward 4 City Councillor Scott Hausman speaking at the city council meeting last week. The entire council meeting can be viewed on BevCam. Brenda Rodriguez is the new CEO of the Lynn Community Health Center and has been on the job for about 2 months.
The organization, we found each other, and so I'll say that. And my heart is for the community. I care about health equity, reducing healthcare disparities, and that is my life's purpose, and that's my personal mission. And I know being here at Lynn Community Health Center, serving this community, that I can do that. And I hope that I can make a difference, and I believe that I can.
Rodriguez was speaking on Lynn TV with news director Danny Vittori, as she shared information on the role Lynn Community Health plays in the city.
Well, Lynn Community Health Center, we are the largest healthcare practice in this community. We are the best answer, and we're really the main solution for patients and community members that have complex needs. Mm-hmm. Our patients have many, many desires. And really, the health center is one of the unique places that can address their comprehensive needs. So whether it's behavioral health services, whether it's primary care, prenatal services, whether they are need assistance with housing or transportation, whether they need a patient advocate, whether they need assistance with a referral and getting to a specialist, there are very few practices that can do that. And we're well equipped to handle those needs, and we're very proud of that work.
That's Lynn Community Health CEO Brenda Rodriguez. In Newburyport, days after the owner of a dog that died along the woods, with reports of another dog getting sick, the city has responded to the Mosley Woods incidents. City officials announced Friday that they found no evidence that backs the claim of dogs being poisoned. Dave Rogers writes in today's Daily News that a GoFundMe page was set up and that the page stated other dogs had been affected. Over $4,200 has been donated to the account. There is another claim that a dog owner threatened a nearby homeowner who owns a property adjacent to the woods. That homeowner recorded the incident on video and sent it to police. Once a funeral home, the Satanic Temple's headquarters on Bridge Street in Salem hosts the Salem Art Gallery, replete with museum-quality artwork, artifacts, a library, and the breathtaking 8.5-foot-tall bronze statue of a pagan deity. The recent attack on the building has brought new attention to the organization. Salem News reporter Dustin Luca points out that members of the Satanic Temple headquarters have been good neighbors in the community.
The Satanic Temple, at least as far as I've heard from everybody, they are great neighbors. Nobody objects to them being in the city. When they first came to Salem, God, it was close to a decade ago at this point. I want to say like 2014, 2015. It was sometime around then when they first announced they were going to come. And then about a year later, they opened that space. There was a lot of, I can remember Josh Turiel on the city council basically saying, you know, there's nothing that prohibits this use. We really can't say no to the Satanic Temple setting up a headquarters here. So let's see how it goes and see if the fears aren't realized. And none of the fears were realized. They've contributed to programs in the city. They've, one of my favorite memories associated with the Satanic Temple, actually, there was one Halloween where you had all of the street preachers that came out and were really doing their thing to, you know, excruciatingly successful fashion. And the Satanic Temple actually came out with all of its folks and set up a human barrier around the street preachers so that nobody had to hear them, basically. And which to me was the ultimate. We ended up doing a story on that, and the thing ended up going viral. So the Satanic Temple, they haven't caused any issues in the city other than the fact that they're frequently targeted, which is not, you know, their own fault or anything like that. It's nothing that they're actively doing. It's just it gets to kind of what you would, you know, reference, where it's just the ignorance of the people. Because any opposition that's facing the Satanic Temple is not necessarily coming from Salem, because Salem has embraced them, welcomed them, and they've proven to not be a problem.
That's Salem News reporter Dustin Luca. Bill Newell on sports next, followed by North Shore Today Extra with Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics opened up the NBA playoffs yesterday afternoon with a dominating 114-94 win over Miami. Six players in double figures. Game two of the series is Wednesday night at the TD Garden. The Bruins opened up their playoffs with a 5-1 win over Toronto Saturday night. The series resumes tonight at the Garden with a puck drop at 7. Bruins coach Jim Montgomery, Saturday the team did some things well, but there's still room for improvement.
Well, we didn't spend a lot of time in our own zone. That was probably the biggest reason that we were able to neutralize some of what they did. I don't think we were all that good at the net front. I think our Swayman had to make a lot of second chance saves, which we don't like. And conversely, what can we do better is we need to spend more time in the ozone. We didn't do a good job offensively yesterday, 5-on-5.
Bruins coach Jim Montgomery. The Red Sox wrapped up a 3-game series in Pittsburgh against the Pirates with a 6-1 win yesterday. They sweep the 3-game series. The Red Sox are off tonight. They open up a series in Cleveland tomorrow night against the Guardians. In local sports, here is a game of note from the last few days. Friday's Bishop Fenwick's 1-0 softball win over Peabody. Two outstanding pitchers dueled. Fenwick's Gigi Opont and Peabody's Abby Betancourt. Fenwick got the game's lone run in the bottom of the seventh inning. Opont recorded 11 strikeouts in the game. Fenwick is now 2-2. It was Peabody's first loss of the season. They are now 3-1. The Ipswich girls lacrosse team was given the rest of the week off after their 18-2 win over Danvers on Tuesday. Coach Allison Tivnan is very pleased with the Tigers' 5-0 start. This is Coach Tivnan, along with our Rick Moore, talking about their offense and a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just really getting into the motion of, you know, using everyone, and you can kind of see that from where our goal leaders are from and that we're spreading it around, which was huge, obviously, against Danvers on Tuesday. We had 14 different goal scorers, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But really just settling in, as we talked previously, we had three of our hardest games right off the bat. So it's kind of tough to, you know, jump right into that and prepare. So we knew those games would be some of our toughest. Thankfully, we pulled out the wins, but I think that it came down to defense a lot in those first couple games. But, you know, we hope to see the attack continue to improve, put the ball in the back of the net.
All right, and your defense has remained outstanding. So once again, highlight some of those kids or, you know, maybe the offensive players who were keeping it in the other zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say all around, everyone's just been awesome. Our new varsity goalie, Emma Paquette, has just been outstanding, stepping into a huge role, as we talked about previously. And then we have core four back there defensively as our low D, Avery Brown, Faith Hauenstein, Jade Wilcox, and Lucy Donahue. And then Maddie Hansen in the last few games has been stepping in huge for us as we've had an injury. So she's been our backer the last couple games, and she's been doing awesome. And then our middies of, you know, Allie Weil, Lucy Winthrop, Estelle Gromko gets back there a little bit, has just been huge the last couple days, especially fighting with the injury that we have. Hopefully, after the time off, we'll be good, and that player will be back.
Ipswich girls lacrosse coach Allison Tivnan with MSO's Rick Moore. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Monday. Stay tuned next for North Shore Today Extra with Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra on MSONewsSports.com. In today's segment, we're featuring some extended comments from Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt that he made earlier this month regarding some of the infrastructure projects in downtown Peabody and the community engagement. Mayor Ted Betancourt, City of Peabody.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. I'm honored to be here among all of you, such a distinguished group of our civic and business leaders in our community. Thank you to Deanne Healy and the Peabody Area Chamber of Commerce, and thank you to North Shore Bank and all of our sponsors to make this great event happen. As you may know, the city is updating our master plan. The master plan is the city's roadmap, which will define its future for the future and create an implementing plan to help the city achieve our community's shared vision. This morning, I want to touch briefly on three key infrastructure projects which will support our vision and serve as the backbone of Peabody's future. Each project will help create new jobs, support local business, and help make our city a better place to live and work. When I was first elected mayor in 2012, I set my focus on rebuilding Peabody's aging infrastructure. I felt a major concern was the deterioration of so many things in our city, our bridges and roads, our water and sewer, our flooding issues that were plaguing our community, and schools and city buildings. During the next decade, we as a community embarked on several major projects to reverse years of infrastructure neglect and breathe new life into the local economy. 10 years ago, downtown Peabody was plagued by flooding issues, dangerous traffic patterns, abandoned buildings, struggling businesses, and very little nightlife. To reduce flooding, we built the Scouting Way Retention Pond, which holds hundreds of thousands of gallons of stormwater upstream that would otherwise flow downtown, and the effects of that have been very real for our city. Utilizing two state grants, we invested millions of dollars to streamline downtown traffic patterns, make shops and restaurants more accessible, improve parking and pedestrian safety, and make the entire area much more attractive to investors. And the results have, from that work has been very real. As you know, downtown Peabody has undergone a dramatic revitalization during the past several years with new housing, restaurants, shops, a black box theater, the North Shore Children's Museum, the magnificent new Bell Inn and Tavern, and the opening soon, the new Brody's Pub. Still a lot more to do. We also undertook, a couple of years ago, Peabody's Clean and Sustainable Water Infrastructure Project. Not very exciting to talk about, but it's a four-phased initiative to stabilize, modernize, and upgrade Peabody's water system and allow us to utilize our own natural resources, produce our own water, and control our own water rates for decades to come. I still think we're one of the lowest water and sewer bills in the entire state, maybe in New England. We built a new Higgins Middle School, which is among the largest middle schools in our region and continues to serve as a model for cities and towns across Massachusetts. As we all know, the beginning of this decade brought with it a worldwide pandemic. Our attention turned to taking care of one another, and major infrastructure initiatives were put on hold. Now, however, as we approach the second half of the 2020s, we are once again looking forward to a bright Peabody future, and once again investing in our critical infrastructure with three major projects. First, Central Street. This is a project we've certainly been talking about for many years, but it is finally starting to happen. We received nearly $20 million in state and federal funds to rebuild the entire Central Street corridor, beginning at its intersection with Walnut Street and continuing through Wilson Square to Route 114. The project includes new road surface and sidewalks, crosswalks and traffic signals, and modern landscape and design amenities. Once complete, it will improve traffic flow, accessibility, and the safety and quality of life of tens of thousands of Peabody residents. It will help attract new investment to downtown Peabody and new customers to our downtown businesses. This project is going to be very difficult. I don't want to sugarcoat it. For about 3 years, this project will impact all of you to some degree. All of the city functions will be impacted to some degree. But the end result will be something very special and will transform that whole area into something much better for all of us and much safer for all of us. The second project, I'm actually going in front of the City Council tonight for a hopeful vote, is a new public safety headquarters. 21st century law enforcement demands the very latest equipment, technology, and workspace. I believe it is time that Peabody had a state-of-the-art complex to serve as administrative headquarters for the Peabody Police Department, the Peabody Fire Department, and our emergency management services. The current facility on Allen's Lane is nearly 50 years old. It no longer meets the needs of our outstanding officers, professional support staff, and the nearly 55,000 Peabody residents they serve each day. And again, that vote is this evening. As you may have heard recently, the Massachusetts School Building Authority's Board of Directors recently voted to invite the city into its funding program for a new Peabody Veterans Memorial High School. I know we have Dr. Josh Vidal and some members of his team here today. Although much work lies ahead, this vote represents a major milestone for our city. In just a few years, I figure about 5 years, Peabody will be home to a new high school which meets the needs of our students, faculty, and staff, and one in which the entire community can take great pride. I certainly can speak at length and give more detail to any of those, so please, either today, after this, or anytime, reach out if you have any questions about those three important projects. There's many other things also, some road repairs, some bridge work, a number of other things that are going to be taking place in the next couple of years, but those are the three key projects. If there's any questions, please reach out because all of them, to some degree, are going to impact your lives and your businesses. So please, any information, don't hesitate to reach out. And once again, I want to thank Deanne Healy and her team, all of you, for being here this morning. I wish you the very best. We're working hard in the City Hall to try to help whenever we can. It's always very difficult, but we want nothing but success for all of you. So, again, please reach out if there's any questions, and thank you so much for the work you do in our city. Thank you.
That is Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt speaking a couple of weeks ago, so this is not totally recent. We get that. But kind of outlining all those detailed projects in the city of Peabody, those infrastructure projects. And that entire address can be viewed at any time on Peabody TV on their YouTube account as they cover all the community meetings in the city of Peabody. That is North Shore Today Extra here on MSONewsSports.com.